I'm going to talk about two big trends in American life over the last 50 or 60 years, the decline of institutional Christianity and the growing polarization of our politics.
Ross Douthat of the New York Times talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The increasingly strident division between an ideological left and an ideological right. And I'm going to argue that Christianity has weakened precisely because people have become more likely to identify with ideologies than with religious beliefs, and that a recovered Christianity, a more robust public religious faith, is actually an answer to polarization because it gives people an identity that's bigger than partisanship, so they can define themselves as Christians first and liberals or conservatives second.
You can meet and hear Ross Douthat at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
They are trying to recover their credibility. They told everyone that Donald Trump was a clown and couldn't get elected. And when he did, it showed that the media just, by and large, didn't know what they were talking about.
The more money we spend, the more programs that we create to try to substitute for mothers and families, the more we actually displace mothers, fathers, and families from each other.
If you don't want to do what the Bible says, that it's a you problem and not a problem with the Bible.
Really, the entire purpose of the incarnation itself is the infinite joining the finite.
Hi, this is Dan up in Washington State. I'm a Lutheran luthier, which means I make guitars, and I love to listen to Issues, etc.
The headline in today's Salt Lake Tribune: LDS Church dumps its controversial LGBTQ policy, cites continuing revelation from God. It describes there a policy that only lasted 3.5 years in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. What was the policy? How did they get it? And how did it suddenly change? Sudden in terms of relatively sudden, considering that these kind of changes generally take place over much longer periods of time. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon, the 5th of April. Bill McKeever of Mormonism Research Ministry joins us to talk about a new Mormon revelation on homosexual Latter-day Saints. After that, Georgie Borman will join us from The Federalist. She's going to get us up to date on this attempt to bring the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act to a vote in the U.S. House. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got the four sound bites. We'll play them for you. And then when the time comes, you'll give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about a new Mormon revelation on homosexual Latter-day Saints, Bill McKeever, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, author of several books, including In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, and Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Great to be with you, Todd.
Were you surprised by this change in policy with the LDS Church?
As a matter of fact, I was surprised, and this is why. It was only in January of 2016 when then-President of the Quorum of the Twelve, Russell M. Nelson, at this time he was not the prophet of the church because Thomas Monson was still alive, gave a talk, and he gave this talk at Brigham Young University, Hawaii. It was called An Evening with President Russell M. Nelson, a Worldwide Devotional for Young Adults. And it was titled, Becoming True Millennials. In this talk, Russell M. Nelson was trying to assure his listeners that the church is led by revelation. And in it, he mentioned specifically that the very new revelation that would bar the offspring or the children of those who were involved in a same-sex marriage would not be allowed to be baptized and or blessed in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Also, it said that those who were involved in a same-sex relationship would be considered apostate, that behavior was considered an apostate behavior. And the handbook that the Mormon Church puts out to its leadership, it's called Handbook 1 for Stake Presidents and Bishops, was going to be revised to include this new revelation to say that apostate behavior included in point number 4 those that were in a same-gender marriage. Now, what's fascinating about this is that in the talk, Russell M. Nelson made it very clear, and I'm going to quote from his talk. It was called Becoming True Millennials. You can still find this on the web. He says, "And then when the Lord inspired his prophet, President Thomas S. Monson, to declare the mind of the Lord and the will of the Lord, each of us, during that sacred moment, felt a spiritual confirmation. It was our privilege as apostles to sustain what had been revealed to President Monson." And in the context, what was revealed is this whole new understanding that same-sex relationships would come under apostate behavior, and those offspring or those children of those in that relationship would not be allowed to be baptized or receive any blessings. So here we have a revelation supposedly given from the Lord, inspiring the Mormon prophet at this time, Thomas Monson. And whatever he's getting from the Lord is, of course, agreed upon by the Quorum of the Twelve, who is the second group in the leadership in the Mormon hierarchy. That seems to me to be pretty official. Now, as you said, 3.5 years later, that is now going to be dropped. They're changing it. If you are the offspring or the children of those in a same-sex relationship, you can get baptized with their permission, and you can receive a blessing by a Melchizedek priesthood holder in the Mormon Church. And that label of apostate behavior having to do with same-gender marriage is now going to be removed in 3.5 years. My question is this really a church that's being guided by the God of the Bible? I mean, what's going on here? Did the God of Mormonism receive some kind of new information, or perhaps he was pressured by some of the cultural feelings that we have in our country today that compels Russell M. Nelson to make this new course correction? It's very confusing, I'm sure, to a lot of Latter-day Saints, although I'm sure that many of them, especially the younger millennial Latter-day Saints, are probably embracing this change as a positive move. It would have to make many of us wonder, if the God of the Bible is not a God of confusion, what's going on here? He can't seem to make up his mind. That seems to be very problematic, you would think.
Okay, so laying aside the contention of the LDS Church and of Russell Nelson that he received this kind of change of plans by divine revelation, just in purely human terms, why do you think they've walked this policy back?
Well, I really think that they have been getting a lot of pressure from members in the church to change their stance on homosexual behavior. And there's a group in the church that just wants to see it come into the more cultural norm, quote unquote, if you will. And the church is trying to handle this. And I guess this is the best way they see doing it. It's really interesting about this, Todd. In this whole discussion over this issue, I never see any Bible verses being mentioned. I don't see any unique verses to Mormon scripture ever being cited. It's all about culture. It's all about feelings. As I just read to you, remember, they said that they felt this spiritual confirmation back in 2015. Well, I'm sure they felt the same thing now. Is this really coming from the same God? And so I think they're being pressured by the culture to make some changes, and that's why they're doing it. That would make perfect sense to me, at least.
Nelson is quoted in the Salt Lake Tribune saying that the church is guided by revelation upon revelation. What does that mean, as far as you can tell?
Well, the way it's usually understood is they believe in continuing revelation. And they also believe that revelation can actually be superseded by a newer living prophet. This is why you don't find the Mormon Church believing a lot of the practices of the 19th century. For instance, polygamy. Now, Mormons in the 19th century certainly believed that the practice of plural marriage was a doctrine from God. Brigham Young said the only men who become gods or even the sons of God are those who enter into polygamy. Well, because of the pressure of the United States government on the territory of Utah, they were not going to be allowed as a state in the Union unless they got rid of this. And so they eventually had to come to the conclusion that polygamy has to go if they hope to become a state in the Union. Now, they went underground with it. We know that, and the church has even admitted it, making it necessary in 1904 to come out with another, what they call manifesto, what I kind of call the Now We Really Mean It manifesto. And that's when they started excommunicating members who were practicing polygamy. But they've done this also with a teaching by Brigham Young. In conference in April of 1852, Brigham Young taught that Adam was God and our only God with whom we have to do. He claimed in that same sermon that it was a doctrine. Well, Mormons don't believe that any longer, so they've kind of let that go to the wayside as well. This church changes all the time on a lot of these issues. Now, I think their fundamental underlying doctrines are pretty much the same since the beginning when it comes to their view of God and salvation and things like that. But they certainly do go through this evolution, if you will, over time, which I think would show many of us as outsiders that this cannot be a church that is led by the God of the Bible. It's just too it's unstable. And truth always seems to be in a state of flux with this group, and it has to be causing a lot of confusion with its members.
Is it too much to say that in at least one very important way, the LDS Church is kind of lives at the whim, perhaps, of its first president and prophet?
Well, absolutely, because the prophet of the church, he is the only one in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints who has the authority to speak for the entire church. Now, it's not to say that he doesn't have his counselors, because he does. He has two counselors, and he also has the quorum of the 12 to bounce off ideas and such. But he is the ultimate authority. Russell M. Nelson, there is no one higher than this man in the Mormon church. He speaks for the entire church, and that structure is based on a principle taught by Joseph Smith himself, that no one in the church has any authority to speak for anyone higher than themselves if they have more authority in the church. For instance, what I mean by that is that, let's say a bishop, a leader of a local congregation, the bishop has no authority to correct Russell M. Nelson. A stake president has no authority to correct Russell M. Nelson. Now, it doesn't mean that they can't verbally correct them, but if they do, they'll get in trouble if they do that. They're not supposed to do that, and they know their place, and this is why we don't see a whole lot of that going on when it comes to those who hold offices in the Mormon church. I've seen lay members do it, but who cares? It's just a lay member. They have no real voice, but if they go public and if they get a lot of attention, they could find themselves facing disciplinary action.
One of the things that I found a little surprising was the ease with which the Salt Lake Tribune was able to find a lot of LGBT Mormons and talk to them, and it seemed they had just one after another. Is this a thing in Mormonism to which the leadership is very clumsily attempting to respond? That is, not just cultural pressure, but pressure from within Mormonism itself.
Yeah, that's a great question, because there are quite a few members that are of that mindset. And they seem to get a lot of attention, which would make you think that there certainly is a pretty large group of them. But they seem to carry a lot of clout. And as you mentioned, the leadership, I think they find themselves really having no choice but to cater to some of the demands. Now, are they ever going to meet those demands to their satisfaction? Probably not. Not unless they were to come out with a statement saying that same-sex behavior is perfectly okay and it's not a transgression and or sin according to the teachings of the Mormon Church. If they start allowing same-sex marriages in the temple, perhaps then this group will be satisfied, but I doubt if they will be until that time. And you have to understand, though, Todd, this idea of celestial exaltation in Mormonism is really geared only for married couples that are male and female, because part of their exaltation is procreating and populating the worlds that they think that they will inherit once they achieve this exaltation. So it's all about procreation in the next life.
So at least if they were consistent within their own theological framework, there's no way in the world, if they were consistent, that the LDS Church would even think about recognizing same-sex marriage, because it would be anathema to their theology at the very most fundamental level.
I would think that's true. That would be certainly a huge change in the Mormon Church, one that I don't really expect to see, but who knows? I mean, it's amazing the things that we're just seeing recently, because Russell M. Nelson doesn't seem to care if he reverses past revelations or overrides past policies that are based on revelation. He doesn't even seem to care if he throws his predecessors under the bus with this whole name issue. You know, they're not supposed to call each other Mormons. They can't refer to their church as the Mormon Church. A lot of their leaders use the word Mormon. A lot of their leaders use the phrase LDS, or the acronym LDS. And now, apparently, that is supposed to really tick God off if you do that. Well, it makes you wonder, did all these past leaders, were they unknowingly, you know, upsetting God? Were they unknowingly giving victories to Satan, as Nelson said, because they were using these words that are now prohibited?
I'm looking back, and I know we've talked about the LDS Church for a long, long time, through several presidencies and prophets that they have come and gone. It's, to my way of thinking, Russell Nelson is really uncharacteristically activist compared to his predecessors.
The expression that I've been using is, I think what makes Russell M. Nelson so dangerous is that he really thinks he's a prophet. And that can be kind of scary. I mean, think about the power this man wields and how easily the followers in his church change course to go along with what he says. The whole name issue is a good example of this. This comes out last August, I think around the 15th. Well, right before that came out, nobody had a problem with being called Mormons. All of a sudden, after the announcement, we're finding Mormons who get upset with you if you slip and accidentally call them a Mormon. They want to correct you now. They didn't care before, but now they do. It's just mind-boggling to me.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. He's author of several books, including In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, and Mormonism 101. You can purchase these books and learn more about Mormonism Research Ministry under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Bill, thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Georgie Borman is with us on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking about the latest attempt to bring the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act to a vote in the U.S. House. If you will remember, it failed technically in the Senate last month, but it has a longer history in the House. We'll see what's up after this.
We live in a perpetual revolution. The essence of our media's breathless headlines is not resistance to a particular regime or ruler, but a revolt against the very concept of civil order.
Aaron Wolf, executive editor of Chronicles Magazine, talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
We are now witness to the fact that civilization falls apart when its people abandon a shared belief in the permanent things, an enduring moral order established by God that exists outside of us.
You can meet and hear Aaron Wolf making the case for conservatism at our one and only 2019 Making the Case conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Find out more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.